This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. I know you guys have been, everybody's been all over this story today. You guys hit it on Good Morning NoCo, Derbs, the dude down the hall, and yourself, Brian, filling in for Coach Bruce Dick today. Follow this story. Great friend of ours, Chris Abshire with the Fort Collins Coloradoan. We heard a little bit about this yesterday, believe it or not, and then Chris put this to paper yesterday morning, I suppose, or he updated it this morning. Windsor forfeits shakeup league title, Rocky Baseball Regional hopes. So this story, Brian, take me through it, man. What, I mean, a player wasn't eligible?
That's my understanding from everything. We had Kevin Lytle on earlier, too, who addressed this as well. A shocker, Windsor went from, what were they, seventh-ranked then it came up that there had been a player that was ineligible who had been on the team for apparently, what, nine games, whatever it is, I think, that they had. And he was somebody who was academically ineligible, is what I've heard. It was an oversight. It was, you know, nothing nefarious that was going on. This was, you know, when we were visiting with the AD from University High School earlier today, you know, him even alluding to that, you know, sometimes things slip through the cracks, you know, and I believe that the superintendent or somebody from there has stepped forward and said that they were taking the blame for this and whatnot. But they went from then thinking that they had dropped to 32 and 32 teams go. So when we started the show this morning, we were under the impression Windsor was going to get in as the last one. And I thought, wow, what a horrible turn of events. But at least those seniors are going to get to go out there and they'll play on a field and get to leave that way. Then it turns out Adams City, I believe, won that conference, which was unexpected because they were below that threshold. That moves them up, bumps teams down. That pushes Windsor to 33.
Wow.
And out of the postseason.
Oh my gosh.
So after a record of, I think they were 17-9 this year, right around there, it changes. You take away those wins and then they're nowhere close. And it breaks my heart because, like we've talked many times throughout the day, I wish it wasn't a make a win a loss, make a loss a win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because those situations, I wish there was a way to make it some other way. I just hate that kids pay the price for something that was an oversight above them. You know, does the punishment fit the crime kind of thing? But I know these rules are in place for a reason, because if it weren't, you could go a direction and make this something you could have people skirt in the system and try to build teams. You know, so I understand why it's there. It's just a horribly, horribly unfortunate situation for all those parents, all those players, all the alumni, everybody who went to a game. It's just, it's really, really sad.
Yeah, and you know, I feel for the, you know, the one kid, right, an eligible kid. I feel for him too.
Yes, like absolutely.
That, you know, I don't know obviously the details of what goes into that and everything. I know that was always stuff that came up when I was in high school. You know, you have your team and you wonder if Billy's going to be able to play or not, but I never paid attention to it. We either saw him play or we didn't see him play. I didn't come up and practice. Coach wasn't like, hey, Billy, you need to get your grades up. I don't know the inner workings of how that works. Coaches get the grades of all their players and see.
Yeah, it used to be when I was in, coach would come up and say, you know, we had a guy on our team, Ferlin, you're great up in geography or you're not going to be able to go.
Yeah.
You know, this week and the rest of the teams, like, you need to get that grade up, you know?
It's, you know, and I never knew if it was like to remember the Titans when Denzel Washington, as the head coach, was like telling the larger guy that, hey, man, if you don't graduate high school, it's not because you're not going to be smart enough. You just come see me after practice and we'll go through your classes and your grades and stuff. But I never knew, like, what goes through that process. Like, as the coach, are you responsible after every practice, every day, to get updates from the teachers, from the principal, from the – I don't know. And then basically you look through the transcripts, you look through the grades and make sure everybody's on the up and up. Did something get missed? Was the kid teetering maybe and then he had a bad exam or something and then suddenly it knocked him down and they didn't realize it at the time? And as you said, you know, we got people saying, yeah, I don't really think there were any there wasn't sneaky business going on.
No, and it wasn't a one time. I mean, obviously was in multiple games.
Sure.
You know, or dressed for multiple games. I don't know any more than that about I feel for that kid and all the kids involved in it.
Yeah.
Just every one of them who
boy.
Have what a rough way to finish your high school career because you no matter what you say, you're going to live years of what would have happened.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
That was our year. You know, even though, what'd you say, they were 17-9?
Yeah.
Legitimately, at the time, they were 17-9. And then
something along those lines.
Well, and it affects other schools, too. Chris Abshire does a great job of kind of laying this out, but like,
how many different schools?
How many different schools? Fort Collins was impacted. Rocky Mountain was impacted by this. And, I mean, all the teams kind of move up a spot, down a spot, whatever. Rocky Mountain had previously appeared to be the Northern Conference champs after going 10-2 in league play, but because the Lampkins' new 10-2 league mark included a sweep over Rocky Mountain, Fort Collins now owns the tiebreaker, so that changed it. It was the Rocky Mountain stuff. There were ramifications on Rocky Mountain because of the forfeit. According to Abshire, the Lobos swept the Wizards in their two regular season matchups, so no results were changed from those two games. However, Windsor's significantly worse record because of that after the forfeit induced a record adjustment. So standings were impacted by that. So the team you beat at the time that lifted your
the power rankings
now goes down because they weren't as good according to that. To me, there's got to be some it's a lot, I get it, but there's got to be some, like, hey, that shouldn't impact the other teams because they were ranked at that time or wherever they were. But I don't know. I don't pretend to know that much about the high school scene and how this works.
I just wish that you could take all of those games and declare them rainouts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Something like that. Where it doesn't show up as the WL and have that kind of effect.
That's tough. Faith texting in. Having worked in the school with athletics, I'm a bit confused just how they missed the academic eligibility. Yes, things happen, but are there grade checks weekly to see if any players aren't eligible for that week? Were teachers just not putting grades in? Just sad and confusing. Feel horrible for those who were affected. For the ineligible kid, you feel bad too, but they should also know their grades. And then she says, 8 games? So they were ineligible for 8 games worth? It just baffles me. It does. My first thought is, like, that was my first thought, is it doesn't a coach, isn't that part of the gig, before every game, you have to know who's eligible? And then I wonder if the coach just didn't catch it, if teachers didn't post the grade in time, but that's 8 games. Now, we're not just talking about one game.
No, there's some errors that occurred that there are... Mm. There have got to be people right now who are just
sick.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely sick.
Yeah.
Many people affect. It's just this is just a sad story.
We were talking to someone yesterday who said her son plays for Windsor and was kind of letting us in on some of that information before we read this story. And it's just like, I think her son was like a junior or something like that. But you just feel for everybody, but you especially feel for the seniors because that's it. Like, that's the last shot.
Absolutely. I mean, 90-some% will never get to play another game. You know, that isn't just a pickup game.
HVAC guy says, my son was regularly hounded about his grades. I don't know how a coach misses that. Well, and again, it might not be on the coach. It could be on somebody didn't post the grade correctly or didn't post it on time. But again, when I look at that and say one time, one game, come on. But multiple games, what's going on over there?
Yeah, that's what makes me think there just has to be something that slipped through the cracks.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
First Advantage text lines 888-530-0043. Brian, you played high school sports.
Absolutely.
You know a thing or two about high school sports.
Yes, I do.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
Oh, that was it. Okay, that
was pretty much it.
Yeah, I did. I played football, Brady. I played baseball and I wrestled.
Did you ever worry about? And this might be a personal question. Did you ever worry about grades and stuff?
No, it wasn't a problem for me until I quit sports.
Yeah, and then you're like, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm heading into radio.
Yeah, and I didn't worry about my grades, but I'm heading into radio anyway, so I probably shouldn't have worried about the grades as much, turns out.
No, but we definitely, our coach, and I remember Coach Coughlin coming through, you know, all the time. We had Dan Roslow, my buddy who wore the same damn shirt every day at practice. Thought it was his lucky shirt, and I'm like, dude, we're 3-4. You know, that's, I don't know how
maybe
lucky that
could
be.
Coach. You know, my coach, I loved my basketball coach. He was as close to like a military guy as you can get without actually being in the military, but he really respected the military. So he ran practices like that. We couldn't grow our hair out. We couldn't grow beards, anything like that, man. He would tell us we had to,
really?
Yeah, we had to all kind of look the same.
Like old school New York Yankees were.
Yeah, we were basically the Yankees.
Okay.
Skill set and everything.
I'm sure it was.
Fortunately, most of us couldn't grow facial hair, so, you know, it was weird if we did.
It really is. If you've got a bunch of junior high kids with beards, you know that there's a problem in the education system.
Yeah, it's not just an ineligible thing. It's like, are you 32?
Exactly.
You're
in the same grade as your kids?
Yeah. Texter from the 970, and then we'll break here because we got Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler coming up. Says that falls on leadership over there in Windsor. I mean, it probably, yeah, probably so. Yeah. I guess until we, maybe we're going to get more information. But it's just an unfortunate thing all the way around.
Well, it's got to. It's not like somebody broke in and did something.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So. Yeah. I'm going to fix the, yeah, I wouldn't think so. 17 minutes after the hour, Sean Keeler coming up from the Denver Post. We look forward to catching up with him. We're going to go all in on Avs Wild coming up tonight, which you'll be able to hear right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. And hopefully the Avalanche can treat the Wild tonight kind of like the Mosquito Joe did the mosquitoes around my backyard and just do away with these pesky Minnesota Wild characters. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. He writes in the Post, Avalanche Josh Manson exposed Minnesota Wild's, Timo Tough Guys as bad actors to take 3-1 series lead. I loved it. Loved it, Sean. As always, great work, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I gotta trademark that Timo Tough Guys thing because I saw that much as I have a love-hate, more hate than love relationship with X.com right now, I did see a few people throwing that out when the at McCarran when the exchange with Manson happened, which was bizarre, but that's reason 985, we love the Stanley Cup playoffs because you get bizarre moments like this that if they don't define it, some define a game and some define a series.
Yeah, it was a bizarre broadcast too, Sean. I know you
were. I heard.
Yeah, you were there in person.
So
you didn't get the joy of us not seeing the goal to tie the game 1-1 while they were having a little sideline powwow there on a power play. By the way, like why cut away at that point? And then, sure enough, we get a goal. I didn't even know what was going on, man. I was confused. Up was down. I honestly didn't know where I was while this was happening. I was so confused.
Multiple socials have not spoken kindly of ESPN's acumen. There's a lot of, God, I miss TNT. I can't wait to get TNT back. And I'm sure the TNT folks are happy to hear that. So, you know, between that and the interview, obviously that they, you know, not doing it on site. Even though they had I was out socially in St. Paul Sunday night in the Arena District at Tom Reed's. Are you familiar with Tom Reed?
No.
In St. Paul? I was not, but that is the hockey watering hole. Leah Hextall was there. Everybody was there. It was the place to go on Sunday night. And that's where I watched most of the Vegas Anaheim game. I want to say game four when they tied it up at two. But so they had people there and they're doing remote stuff with McCarron. I feel bad for you guys because it doesn't help anybody. It's not serving the customer and it's not serving the apps fan if you're, you know, screwing around like that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, in any other sport, you know, I can kind of be, you know, okay, we missed a couple of buckets by, you know, Ant-Man or something like that. We missed a couple of Joker layups or whatever. But to miss a goal, you know, like there's not many of them. Even when there's a lot of them, there's still not many of them. And that was just kind of odd. But Michael McCarron's comments, you know, the Josh Manson, you know, attack there that he's a dirty player, all that. And then he doubles down on it in the post game. And I like Josh Manson's quote, like, I'm not that dirty. Like, that's a T-shirt right there. I think that would be a good one. I'm not that dirty. I think that would be fun, Sean.
Well, if they win the whole thing, as many T-shirts as came out in 22, and then Naz Kadri had like three of them by himself. I saw too many men on the ice shirts.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
I know there's a lot of really good creative Avs fans who will take advantage of that too. So I fully anticipate. Here's the thing tonight, heading down there, I'll be disappointed if I don't see swimming goggles in some places, mm-hmm. and I'll be disappointed if I don't see Manson signs or Manson T-shirts already lined up of the I'm a nice guy or the. Did you see that the Avs socials put out him with two puppies?
I did. That was hilarious. It was just like, hey, here's Josh Manson with two puppies randomly.
No reason.
Yeah.
Like they said, no reason. As a fan of Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, I appreciate the intense of sarcasm and knowing wink to everyone. So no, it's good. And you know, what you can't deal with, try to have fun with. I think everybody's done that, but we will see. Someone made a point on another show or something else I heard coming in yesterday from the airport where I was on Frontier, and it was great, thankfully, knock on wood. and that was fine. Yeah, it was a very weird weekend that way. What do you do if McCarron, like, is like first thing he's like, or if he gets the last 5-6 minutes of a game, say the Avs are up 3-1 or it's over. It's, you know, it should be. If McCarron like challenges him right off, comes back and says, fight me, bro, let's go. Well, you kind of can't do it there, can
True.
You?
True, yeah.
Like,
that's
I think you strategically, with as thin as the D-core is now, the Avs need Josh Manson. The Wild don't give a crud about Michael McCarron. You know, he can just goon it up the rest of the way, and they're going home, and he's worried about his Cancun and golf. Josh Manson's got, whatever, two more rounds, God willing, of which they really need everybody on site. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch just because of that, and that stuff doesn't go away. And because Minnesota knows Avs D is in a precarious place right now and that they can do them harm, not just tonight, not just for whatever may be left in the series, but potentially, you know, one round, if not the next two, that they could have coming up.
How do you think this one's going to go tonight, Sean? Obviously, what I love about this Avs team that I didn't see with the Nuggets is they got punched in the mouth on Saturday, and we were already hearing trash talk from Minnesota a little bit like just arrogant talk, I guess, from the Wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get this one, this recent one during the game and then after the game. The Avs, they don't stay down long, and they did what you're supposed to do when a team is trashing you, if you have the ability to do that, and the Avs did it. Can they take that momentum and do it again? Because if the Wild somehow win this game in Colorado, then I think we're back up in the, if they take it back to Minnesota, force a game seven. Yeah. How's this going?
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I've gone back and forth with it, because first of all, the thing you have to keep in mind, we make the Nuggets parallel. The Avs are the Thunder.
Yeah, 100%.
And we've said that for months, and we've known that for months. As much as we wanted the Nuggets to be better and hoped they would be better, I still feel they have a better roster on paper than they did a year ago this time. I know, Russell Westbrook, blah, 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 blah. There were other factors that contributed. Many, many factors contributed to the early demise of the Nuggets, not all of which were self-inflicted, but some of which were. Let's be clear, the Avs, relative to the rest of hockey, relative to the rest of the NHL, no, they're OKC. Like, they're supposed to be here, and they are good enough with Kivi Ranta and some people like names I struggle to pronounce, on defense from out of nowhere and flipping goalies in the middle of the series. I give Jared Bednar ton of credit for that, because as I said in print Saturday, Sunday, I wouldn't have done that.
Wouldn't have either. Yeah.
I wouldn't, but it worked. Yep. Every button he pushed, eventually it worked. But they wear you down. The Avs are just relentless that way. That's the depth. That's better than the cap of Chris McFarland. They are, they're the less injured, more professional version of what we thought the Nugs would beat that way. To your point about the series, I don't know. They can lose tonight, and I'll tell you why. And this will be an interesting test, because remember, they were in the same position, I believe, with St. Louis and with Tampa. Weren't they able to have the ability to clinch both at home in game five? I know Tampa was, because everybody was ready to party and ready to go, and then it didn't happen, and 10,000 people went on the streets, and then it happened, whatever, two nights later, because they were just better than everybody else that year, too. I could see that again. I mean, what you know for certain based on game three is that from McCarron on down, Minnesota has no fudges given, whatever words you want to put cleanly for FCC purposes. They're going to leave it all out there. You do have to match that desperation, and that is hard. I think everything kind of leveled off a little bit more with game four, and the adjustments were advantage Avs, and it just tightened up some stuff, because defensively they just were bad. And the thing that doesn't get talked about enough, although my contemporary Corey Massasak at the papers talked about it a lot, is just how good this defense is. Not just the defenseman, but the overall defensive alignment that, in fact, Nelson and Nichushkin, Lekkonen, when he plays, are also elite defensive forwards. These are actually all guys who are really, really good at that. And that's shown and when they're healthy on the PK. Did not show Saturday, but it did show on Monday night when they had Taves out there and they had Manson out there again. So they can't, my head says they lose tonight, believe it or not, weirdly, but my heart hopes they don't and can get some extra rest. But here's the thing, and I was right on the Nugs series. Let's see if I'm right on this one. If they would lose, they will beat Minnesota in St. Paul in game six.
Isn't there?
Like, it's the same. It's a business thing. Like, I don't think it matters to them if they're home or away. If they're airtight or they're feeling a little healthier and they can keep it close on emotion and beat you late as they did Monday, I think they have a better shot of doing that Friday than they do tonight. But I certainly think on paper they should win tonight.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. I was just going to ask, isn't there kind of a negative history as far as the Avs not being able to clinch a series at home? We had a texter just text in, Dixon, says Avs haven't clinched a series at home since 2008. I thought I heard that stat earlier.
Yep. Yeah, I did too.
What's going on with, that's one of those wild stats, because in 2008, different.
For a team as good as this is, a franchise as good as this is. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's distractibility. And again, to go back to 22, in that title run, they didn't do it twice, I believe, on those two chances. But they knew that they would always be like they were good enough, but then they would get so mad and motivated about being so embarrassed about not doing it here that they'd take it out on the next game of the next round. Now, I was at St. Louis. I was at the party zone covering that for us here when they clinched in Tampa. I think it was a Sunday night. Yeah, I'm sure it was a Sunday night. But then I was at the second round clincher, because Darren Helm tickling the twine will never leave me. They're memories that stick with you when you're there, and Helm just ending that game and everyone in St. Louis just deflated and leaving that place, and the only noise being made or however many hundreds of thousands or thousands of Avs fans in one corner or scattered about, and the players, you could pretty much hear the players celebrate when they do that and clinch it on the road, because that place clears out so much, and then you get the handshakes and everything on down the line. So I think you could see that again. If I were betting with your money, I'd say they win it in six on Friday, and tonight's kind of an emotional struggle, or something stupid happens that slows things down, because Minnesota is still, even without Erickson Ek, although something like that might go tonight, even without two of their better six guys in this series, they're still pretty good. But I hope I'm wrong and it's done and everybody gets a break, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, and that's what's going to be interesting is if they can, because even in that game Saturday or Tuesday, what day is it today? Wednesday, so Monday.
Yeah,
there we
were,
go.
They were Saturday,
there we
Monday.
Go. Yeah,
Saturday,
those are Monday, those are the days of the week, Sean. So even in that game Monday, it felt like okay, the Wild get that early goal, but it still felt like the Avs were playing better. But on the reverse of that, my brain's going, this is going to be one of those games where we say the Avs played the better game. But the Wild win like 2-1 or something like that.
And so, OT games can match that too. Yeah, you could play great and then you lose an OT.
Yeah, and you could see that. I could very well see that tonight. Where
this we've been doing OT in this series, and I thought it was going to be Monday mostly because I was there on deadline. I thought, oh, it's going to be tonight, or it was going to be last Tuesday. I think Game Two. I thought I was certain that Game Two and Game Four were going to OT. This one could. Again, you give a team, you put a team with their backs against the wall if they have any pride, and Minnesota does, if they have any talent, and Minnesota absolutely does that. They took out your enemy of my enemy is my friend. They took out your number one nemesis first to get here, and you have to keep that in mind. And now that wouldn't apologize if they would somehow lose three straight. Good Lord. I mean, I don't see that. But I'm with you that I think if I were hedging, this feels like an overtime game for somebody. Could be that, you know, St. Louis part two could be that overtime L where you're like, and then Nate gets mad. Here's the thing, you just gotta make Nate mad. And then make Nate mad for 2 days, and then he goes there and he talks about how much he hates being in Minnesota again. They all have to complain about the short flight, and they're all irritated, and the Wild are just thrilled to still be alive, and then they pound them on Friday night. That could happen. Or you could just finish it off tonight.
Sean, speaking of Nate getting mad, I thought he was going to kill the trainer who came out when he broke his face. Like, I was watching that, and I was like, I would hate to be that guy because he's like, you okay, man? You okay? I could just picture McKinnon like, get the hell off of me, man. I'll glue my nose back on.
Yeah, he would just play that, like, blood gushing, like friggin' Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He would just go. He's from Nova Scotia, baby. It's an old Monty Python. It's just a flesh wound.
Seriously.
Guy like, oh, your nose is on the ground. I don't care. Let's go.
Yeah, that's, if I have a slight bloody nose, I'm like, is it cancer? Where do we go to fix this? I have to go now. Honey, get the car. And this guy's like gluing his nose. They're different people. They're just different humans.
No, he is. He's different. He's even different as hockey guys are different. He's on another level.
He's like a
robot. That was... Which, cyborg. There's cyborg elements. Cyborg
things. During the World Cup, and they're giving him like stuffed animals. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't give him a teddy bear. He doesn't want that.
And you know what's funny with that, and not to go overly down that rabbit hole, is if this ends as we all kind of hope it does and should, man, I think we're all going to come back to that stuffed animal moment with McKinnon. Again, aren't we? I mean, it sounds like too easy, lazy a narrative, but I just know. I don't know Nate super great compared to some athletes in town because it's Nate. I know him well enough that he wants to go back to Canada and show his face, and everybody on that silver winning team, the pride in America, it was great. You know, USA, great. I mean, good on him. But the shame that team felt and crud that team took, I think in a way I would not be surprised, in McCart too, if we come back and go, that inadvertently ended up being one of the best things that ever happened to this Avs season.
Sure.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
That I'm not saying he would be fat and happy if he had gold, but you can't tell me that they're not thinking in the back of their mind, especially when they see Boldy and other guys could use from that US team.
Yep.
US team would think, you know, a few expletives come, you know, they're thinking, you got me over on one of the things that has been in my lifetime. My country has never lost this, and we are the nation of hockey, and I've been shamed on this by my loved ones and family, and it's not cool. And there is one way to at least get some of that off the record if you're Nate or Kale, and Taves is there too, but if you're Nate and Kale in particular, and if you're walking around Canada with a cup this summer, I think you're going to need a lot fewer questions about the Olympics.
100%.
Right. I mean,
Sean, I got about 30 seconds here. Blackwood or Wedgwood tonight?
I want or will be. I
both.
Think, I'm a Wedgie fan, so I'm always going to lean that way. I think they go with Blackie. I think they play the hot hand again and wait for him to give them a reason. Now, here's a tricky one. What if they lose 3-2 in overtime and he has some clunkers?
Yeah.
And to the point you mentioned, then you got something. Because then you have a road game, and what do you do?
I think like the sports radio host in me is like deep down dark secret rooting for a goalie controversy, but at the end of the day, it's just there isn't one. They're both just so freaking good. It doesn't matter.
They are good. They are good. And hopefully, if this goes as it should next week, or whenever we talk again, we can discuss start comparing 26 to 22 because we're already starting. But let's get through this round first before we go whole hawk on that.
Sean Keeler, great stuff as always, my friend. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, brother.
All right, Sean Keeler, Denver Post. 40 minutes after the hour, Brian. We'll jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Agree with Keeler, Brian. I think
I don't agree with him.
I think they unlocked it, man, and I think it's going to be over tonight.
I don't see a situation where they're going to lose in front of their fans tonight on that ice. They're riding off a on the road victory back home with a crowd that has not seen them win. I didn't realize it since
2008.
Since 2008, that place is going to be just thirsty for a victory tonight.
I don't know how much those kind of stats. I know they're real. I know it's a real stat. They haven't clinched a series at home since 2008. I get that. But I just don't know how much that every series is different, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Even in, you know, 22 years or what or no, whatever it is. Yeah, 22. Is that real? No, not 22. 18. There we go. There we go, Brian. Quick math there. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
18. That's still like that's crazy to me. But all the things Sean kind of outlined there, thinking about the failed opportunity by guys like Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Taves in the World Cup, and
never
all that.
Even put that together.
Yeah, but I look at that and go, man, this is a team more on a mission, and you know they got kind of embarrassed on Saturday, and then for them to come
back, they did, yeah,
and respond the way they did on Monday, it shows me that this team, yeah, they could give up a goal early, but they just have everything. And I know Minnesota down a couple of their studs and maybe getting one of those guys back tonight. But I just think whether it's Wedgewood or Blackwood in there, there's not a story there. There's not a story. It's not like, oh, goalie controversy. You've got either 1A or 1B. And I'm not even sure on any given night who really is 1A or 1B.
Yeah, it feels like a 3-1, 4-1 kind of situation tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
That's where I'm going anyway, and that's where my hope is lying. Just as long as we have more goals than them, we win this thing, let's get some rest and move on to the Western Conference Finals and see who comes out of Anaheim, you know, and Vegas. And just see who we get.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like Michael yesterday's getting all caught up on Carolina. I was like, hey, we still got to get this done.
Absolutely.
And then you never know what happens in that next round.
Well, no, and you never know with Carolina who they're going to get, and will they get through that?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. We'll see. Brian, we'll take a quick break here. We'll get to what did we learn on the other side. It's The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Greeley Stampede is almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, Brian Gary, great job today, by the way.
Hey, thank you. Always a pleasure to hang with you, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We covered a lot of ground. Did you learn anything today? Or?
I learned a lot today.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I learned that you need to make sure that all of your players are eligible.
That's a
very, very important thing.
Pretty important situation.
I did. I learned that the Denver Nuggets are either going to run it back or make major changes.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I learned that we think the Avalanche will win tonight.
Yeah, and I learned a few things, too. Ole Miss is just catching strays.
They really are.
Not sure what they did recently to get that. Haven't they been through enough? The Lane Kiffin stuff was...
If it's Kiffin, go at him.
Yeah, why don't we go at LSU? Let's go at LSU a little bit. You know, I don't know if Ole Miss really deserves this. Also, we learned about golf a little bit today, Brian. How
True.
About that?
We know that Rory and his blisty shouldn't be a problem.
Apparently, it's on his big toe, and he's trying out different shoe sizes. So
Band-Aids.
Watch out for Rory when he's golfing. One foot will look bigger than the other, apparently. So that's something to keep an eye on.
I'll certainly be watching
I'll be on foot watch again, as I tend to do, but for different reasons. Of course. Also,
I don't want to know more.
I probably don't want to know either. Also learned that, again, the Avalanche did what the Nuggets couldn't. And there's so many differences. I know there's a lot of comparisons with both franchises. They've kind of synced up together when they're winning and that kind of thing. But
yeah, which has been glorious
been
as a
fun,
fan.
But
yeah.
The big difference, at least now, is that the Avs, Sean's right, they are more like the Thunder. They have the weapons that will allow them to punch back if a team like the Minnesota Wild's talking a little trash. The Avs can bounce back. They can back their own up, too. The Nuggets just didn't have that this year.
No, they didn't. I thought they would, but I just think health was such a major factor. And I thought they were deep enough to overcome, but that was too much to have to overcome.
It proved to be too much, at least for this team. So we'll see. Maybe changes are really on the horizon for the Denver Nuggets. All right, Brian, great work again, my friend. And we'll look forward to catching up with the Hooligans later on. We're off tomorrow. We got Rockies. Hopefully it's the rubber match. Hopefully the Rockies take care of business tonight against Pittsburgh. Probably not.
Would love that. 10:30 start tomorrow. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. A little midday baseball for you. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.